Hey, Barb.
Yep.
What did the right eye say to the left eye? Between you and me, something smells. Yeah. Let's pray. Should have prayed before that. Lord, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up. We put them into your hands, and we just ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our message on love, and we're picking up where we left off last week, 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Here Paul ends his negative description of love, what it's not and what it does not do, and he returns to a positive description of love. Remember, he began in verse 4 by telling us that love is patient and love is kind. Paul now tells us five things that love does: rejoices with truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. When we look at this list of things that love does, what it empowers us to do, we can see that only the first of the five is qualified, while the next four are unqualified by the word all. Love does not rejoice in all things. Love rejoices with the truth. One doesn't have to force love to do these things or not do these things, as the case may be. These actions are what love does or doesn't do naturally. It is how we know whether love is present in our hearts and to what degree it is there. These things prove love's presence in our heart and to what level. Hence, they also prove God's presence in our heart. Our words, our church attendance, and our giving can all be proof of how we want to be seen, while the qualities of love are proof of what we actually are. They cannot be faked or forged for a very long time. This morning, I want to take a look at the first of these things that love does. Love rejoices with the truth. As noted, this service is a transition from the first to the first positive from the last negative. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. So we go from that to it does rejoice in truth. Let's begin by defining truth for our purposes this morning. Now, the dictionary definition is the property of being in accord with fact or reality. There are not many other terms that we use this much that are as hard to define. Perhaps love, the two things we're talking about today. There's ontological truth, there's logical, moral, and religious truth, and none of these should conflict with the other if they are a truth at all. The English meaning goes well beyond the Hebrew and the Greek. Since this message is about love as much as it is about truth, we will simplify the term to mean the expressed will of God. Now, from the Bible dictionary, it says, in the Bible, the known will of God is final for man as a standard of truth, not as arbitrary, but an expressive of God's nature. God's nature is all comprehensive of facts and goodness, and so is, all in all, the source, support, and object of all concrete being. The will of God thus revealed persuades and achieves the ideals and the end of complete existence. Complete existence. It answers everything. The term truth is sometimes, therefore, nearly equivalent to the revealed Word of God and His will. So for us, there is the truth, capital T, a truth that is foundational to all other truths. It cannot be separated from them, and they cannot be separated from it. This truth is the causal effect of all that is, was, and will be. If a thing is not in accord with the truth, with this truth, it's not truth at all. For us, this is the will of God, the ultimate reality, the base fact of life. All truth is God's truth, because as with love, God is truth. It cannot be separated from Him. Hence, truth cannot be separated from love. Truth and love are bound together in all of the manifestations of God. It is in Jesus, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father yet through me. It is in the Spirit, 1 John 5:6 says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. God Himself, Exodus 34:6. Then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Truth and love are bound together in the definition of God. Psalms 31:5 says, into your hands I commit my spirit. That should sound very familiar to you. That is what Jesus Christ quoted on the cross. And here's the rest of it. And everybody that heard it knew what it meant. You have ransomed me. Put that together with him dying on the cross. O Lord God of truth. Augustine wrote, where I have found truth, there I found my God, who is the truth itself. Then we have the Word of God, where we learn the other three. John 17:17-20. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves may be sanctified in truth. What sanctifies you, what changes you from the lies you live is the truth. I do not ask this on the behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. And that, brothers and sisters, is you and me. Psalms 119:160 says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So, the totality of Scripture brings us to truth, and every sentence in it is in and of itself truth that leads to the great truth, the sum of all the words. The Word is the true image of the heart of God, revealed through Jesus and the Spirit. You can build your life on it, and what you've built upon will never fail or fall. A.W. Tozer wrote, the Bible is inevitable outcome of God's continuous speech. It is infallible declaration of his mind. The hardest truth is more loving than the most pleasant lie. For example, and a doctor may tell you that you have lung cancer. There's not a great expectation of rejoicing in this truth, though James' admonishment to count it all joy may counter this. Remember, when Jesus saw Jerusalem, he didn't rejoice in the truth of their future. He wept over this truth. So this isn't telling us to approach our neighbor whose husband just died with a joyous high five as we rejoice in the truth of his demise, unless they really dislike their husband. The one who tells you the truth does so because they want you to be aware of and prepare for what that truth is. The one who does not tell you the truth lies because they want to feel better about your situation more than they want to care for you. And we find ourselves in that situation. We don't want to offend someone, so we don't tell them the truth. Now, Scripture does give us a few concrete examples of what love rejoices with the truth means. 2 John 1:4, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in the truth. Basically, he is rejoicing over the truth that he heard. 3 John 3:4 says, for I was very glad when the brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. Here John writes about what Paul had made note of in 1 Corinthians 13:6. John rejoices with these Christians who are walking in the truth. John is thrilled that they're no longer pursuing lies, but now on their path that will make them free. Jesus told the believers in John 8, if you continue in my word, which is truth, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue to seek the truth where it is, you will become my disciples, and the truth will absolutely make you free. Free from what? Whatever lies bind you. Now, there's some scriptures that give us the opposite. 2 Timothy 3:8. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men of depraved minds, rejected in regards to the faith. Romans 2, 6 through 8 says, who will render each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, which is the greatest lie we face, they do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Now let's take a look at some practical examples of when and why our love rejoices in truth. Brothers and sisters, it's no secret here that this life is tough when it's at its easiest and its most pleasant. It can be downright vicious when the tide of life turns against us. The tide can turn in an instant with a phone call, a knock at the door, a decision you made, a decision someone else made, close by or even far away, or literally from which direction the wind blows. Ask the people in California. Whatever or whoever you have built your life upon can be gone in the blink of an eye. Everyone and everything you care about or for will, one way or another, leave you, or you will leave them. This is the brutal truth that comes from sin. But there is a truth deeper than this truth of sowing and reaping. It is the foundational truth of God's grace and God's love. They're not different truths. They are the progression of truth. You must know the one before you will accept the other. We do not accept grace until we know that we have a need for it, till we know the truth about ourselves. Love waits with patience and kindness for this to occur. It waits for us to open the door that the truth knocks upon so often with hard times. Here are the basic harsh truths of this life, truths that have been with us for a very long time because they are a direct product of our own wicked disposition. Genesis 3, 16 through 19. To the woman, he, God, said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then he said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, my favorite scripture, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorn and thistle it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will earn bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Nothing that has ever happened has changed this. This is one tough bowl of truth each of us has to consume along with our morning coffee each and every new day of our lives. There appears to be very little for love to actually rejoice in here. No amount of sugar can mask the bitterness of what we have to face every day because of what we are. There appears to be very little of this truth that love should or would rejoice in. All human pain and fear appear to begin here. But the truth is, all of this began the moment we choose to believe the deadly lie that we wanted to hear, you will be like God. For women, the fulfillment of your physical design and your greatest power will be tainted by pain, pain that will come with the birth of your children and continue on as you watch your children face these same harsh truths each and every day of their lives. For both of us, men and women, the foundational relationship of our physical existence, the one that we should cleave and cling to, will be changed by something as simple as one of us having one-third more muscle mass than the other. This small biological difference means that we can make you conform to our will. What we can do, we have surely done, and we continue to do on a constant basis throughout our history. This truth hurts both of us as it changes the dynamic of the relationship from one helping each other to one serving the other. The next truth is that creation itself will no longer be our ally. It will be a challenge instead of a blessing. What nature once freely offered will now have to be wrestled away from it. from dawn till dusk each and every day of our lives. We damaged all of creation when we sinned and changed its purpose from provider to reformer. All purpose and meaning of life will be supplanted by one simple goal: survival. Fulfillment became toil, and all accomplishment passed away with the setting of each sun, with the sun each and every day of our lives. Finally, the harshest truth of all, after we have felt the pain and bore the burden of this existence, abused and fought with each other, struggled against all the rest of creation, and lost our sense of purpose, after all of that, we simply cease to exist. Life is very hard, and then we die. We return to creation that we have corrupted, each and every one of us. Each and every time someone is born, their destiny is known to everyone. They will cease to be here. The cause of death will never differ. It has always been and always will be sin. Even if we do learn to live in some manner of harmony with each other, if we do manage to eke out a few wins against creation and find some measure of fulfillment in our lives, it is all lost to the empty vastness of eternity in the moment our heart stops beating. This is truth. So, love rejoices in this? It is, after all, the truth. Truth that comes directly from the will and the word of God. God, who is love and truth. Yes. Absolutely. Count all of this as joy and joyous. This is love's plan to return us to the Father that we have walked away from. Our journey back to Him began before we left. Each and every one of these hard truths teaches us what we must know to return home. That we are not God, and we never will be. This is the plan God has to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us everything eternally by taking it away first temporarily. This short path of pain and loss leads directly to the truth we must know about ourselves. He is God, I am not, and that is a very, very good thing. Imagine what I would do with that power without that love. This short path of truth, loss and pain, leads us to a destination of eternal glory. Your trip through the hard truth was booked for you by the one who loves you, your Father. He paid for it, literally, with His life. We go into exile for a lifetime so that we can turn for an eternity of peace and rejoicing. Those who know this truth will begin rejoicing right now. We've been told, if you continue in His word, you will know this truth, and this truth will make you free. You won't have to lie to yourself. You won't have to lie about the conditions of life. You will be able to look the truth in the eye, know why it's there, and you will rejoice with it. And you will rejoice as the truth makes you His disciples. And then it will make you joint heirs with Him to all things forever. This is the truth of your existence. Rejoice in it, because the truth of your life is glorious. And it is so because you are loved by God. I leave you with Psalms 43:3. When it gets hard, when what we've made this turns on us, when we have to get up in the morning and we really don't want to, oh, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling place. Amen.